Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Big day, big doings in Cleveland. Guardians getting ready to play the Tigers. If they lose, season's over. Great season, though. Very, very fun. We'll see. If they win, game three tomorrow, winner moves on. And the Browns deciding that Dylan Gabriel will be a better option for them as the starting quarterback in London against the Vikings than Joe Flacco. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I am Jeff Phelps. This is not Andy Baskin. It's Dan Menigan.
Take the Fan with you wherever you go. Listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And also, if you missed us during the day, you can always use the rewind function on the Odyssey app or catch us on our podcast. You can find those at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. We're right there. Give us a listen.
As you were heading in for the game today, I hope we did a good job getting you ready for it between all the baseball talk and the traffic updates. So, and hopefully that's all cleared up and everybody's in the stadium without too many issues. The Browns announcing their decision with a press release before Kevin Stefanski spoke today, which is interesting. Kevin chose not to make any announcement on Monday, whatever reason, he didn't have to. But we all kind of, when he didn't commit to Joe Flacco, we kind of thought, okay, they're going to make
something
a change
smells
of quarterback.
Here. Yep.
Yeah, they're going to make a change of quarterback.
Here's your indications.
Kevin did speak today, and he talked about why Dylan Gabriel is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Excited for Dylan. He's handled everything really well since he's been on campus here. We're just going to have to support the young man, coaches, players, offense, defense, special team.
Support the young man. Isn't that funny? I think that's funny. Let's support the young man.
Going to need everybody pulling in the same direction.
Yeah.
One behind another. Left hand over right hand.
Now, the Browns have a record of 1-3.
In unison.
Their point totals, is it bad that they're so easy to memorize that I have? 16, 17, 13, and 10 in the four games.
It's a little sad that you have that memorized.
I have it memorized.
More that you have that memorized, which there might be an intervention coming on that one.
Might be.
But also the fact that right now, those numbers are pathetic. I mean, they're just pathetic. There's no other way to put it.
And see, let me take
embarrassing.
Let me take that and turn it into this. A lot of folks, and a lot of folks who we respect. Daryl said he wouldn't have made the move now. You wouldn't have made the move.
I wouldn't
now.
Have made it now.
I would, and the reason that I would make the move now, Dylan's not going to play any worse than Joe Flacco has. And the offense isn't going to play any worse than it has with Joe Flacco at quarterback. That's on the offense. It's not on Joe. So I don't have a problem making the move after four games and a record of 1-3 and an offense that hasn't put up more than 17 in a game. Kevin Stefanski on why making that quarterback move now was the thing to do.
I think the big thing for me is we need to all be better. We need to coach better. We need to block better, catch better, run better, All of the above. We need to be better. And I know the quarterback position gets quite a bit of scrutiny. I understand that. But this is about our entire team playing better.
Okay, so what did Kevin tell you about why make the move now? Nothing.
We need to make sure that we wipe down the equipment in the weight room better. We need to make sure when we throw our trash into the trash can and we miss, we go and pick it up or make the shot a little bit better. We need to make sure that we clean our plates better before we put them up for someone else to wash them later. We just need to have everything get better.
That was half Coach Kevin there. That was half Coach Kevin.
Well, some of it has become
it was the snarky comment without the snarky voice.
Some Coach Kevin really is the Kev and the mannequin. There's a little of each.
If you know what we don't know is what marching orders the front office and the coaching staff have been given for this season. You know, that's big picture here. You know, was it, hey, we're going to take a quarterback next year, and so, you know, you're safe for next year, or hey, you better win some games this year or you're not going to be here next year. We don't know if they've been given any orders from, you know, or any symbols, any signs like that, win or you're out, or hey, don't worry about it because you're back next year. And that might play into this whole decision.
You and I have said the writing is on the wall from the very beginning.
As soon as they made the trade.
As soon as they've traded down from the second overall pick, the writing was on the wall that this was a multi-year retool. If you prefer that term to rebuild,
taking quarterbacks next year.
And they're going to take a quarterback next year. And so I think what this is your backup quarterback of 2026, 2027 is currently getting some reps in right now so that he can either A, be for sure the backup quarterback, B, be the starting quarterback, which puts you in a really interesting position that you could take some other positions of need.
Yes.
Or C, and probably the other part of it, they bring in a whole different group of people to come in here. But they're probably looking at this and going, look, if this is heading south and we all think this is going to head south, let's get our backup some reps due to the fact that he's going to be here next year because he's cheap and he can understand the system. And maybe he could be an aide to Lenora Sellers or Garrett Nussmeier or Drew Aller or the kid from Oregon can't come out yet. Or whomever you want to point to.
But here's the other thing.
Or whatever quarterback du jour you like.
I think another factor that goes into this, why make the quarterback move now, and I don't think this will happen, is this gives Gabriel, and maybe eventually Sanders, but Gabriel for now, if he goes out and plays well and keeps playing well, he's going to have 13 games.
Yeah, it's a pretty good sample size.
And there's a very, I'll call it an outside shot, that he can go ahead and say, hey, look, you don't need to draft a quarterback. I can be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say he goes out, plays well, they win some games. And all of a sudden, the Browns are drafting, and let's not get carried away, let's say the Browns are drafting 10th next year, and the Jaguars are drafting 13th. Well, that might not be high enough to get the quarterback you want, or the next quarterback you want, or the third quarterback you want. And just because you have two first-round picks doesn't mean somebody's going to trade you the pick that's going to take to get the quarterback you want. So you might as well try and find a guy and see if a guy can play, and I think that's what they're going to try and do. Dylan Gabriel is the beneficiary of this right now. He is the starting quarterback for Minnesota. He met with the media. First question, he was asked about being named the starter.
From the beginning, it's the moment you look forward to as a competitor. But, you know, it's part of my job, you know, to be ready, to be that sense of hope for everyone to continue to be better and come together and create momentum for each other. So excited for that, but just also extremely focused at doing my job at a high level.
Guy sounds like the real deal. That means nothing. But he certainly does not seem overwhelmed at the idea of being a starting quarterback. And probably for good reason, he started more college football games than any quarterback ever. 64 college starts.
He's also older than your typical rookie quarterback is going to be.
He's not like 21-year-old Jackson Dart.
Yeah, he's close to 25. I mean, at that age, you've seen some things. You've understood some things. You have a better understanding of life than somebody who's coming in who's 20, 21, 22. you have a better understanding of some things. So you're going to sound a bit different. You're right. He sounds like a leader, but we live in Cleveland, Ohio. We've been through this for 26 years. We've had quarterbacks sound like leaders. We've had quarterbacks sound like, you know, they have no idea what's going on. We've had quarterbacks that have a serious grasp of an offense, and we've had quarterbacks that never opened a playbook. You've heard it all. You've had quarterbacks that curse. You've had quarterbacks that speak as cleanly as humanly possible. We've heard it all. You've heard yelling and screaming. You've heard people who whisper.
Gabriel was asked about being ready for this moment. And again, Dan just mentioned he's older than most guys, you know, at this point as a rookie. He's played parts of 6 years in college football, 5 years as a starter, two at UCF, mm-hmm. two at Oklahoma, the last one at Oregon. Huge touchdown, 155. I think it's the most touchdowns ever thrown by a college quarterback. This doesn't mean that it's going to translate to the NFL. Think of Case Keenum. Think of Colt McCoy. Guys who were really successful as college quarterbacks and then were okay.
Every Hawaii quarterback.
And every Hawaii quarterback.
Yeah.
But Gabriel, on getting ready for this moment, starting quarterback in the NFL.
A lot of walkthroughs, a lot of meetings you got to be really tuned into. And then, you know, I think just you look at all the work from beginning of OTAs and rookie minicamp to now, I think that's all installation that you can really pride yourself on and the reps built up. So moments, you know, that build up and then to get here, but extreme focus on just doing my job at a high level and continue to do that for one another.
I will say, I like the way he's looked in the limited times we've seen him. You know, he had bad interception in the preseason. Okay, well, you're working on things in the preseason. Also had some moments in the preseason that were pretty good. And then the drive right down the field against Baltimore, that was nice.
But it's the preseason. You know, well, you take everything with a grain of salt.
The regular season activity, though, I thought looked good.
Yeah, that did look good. Yeah. Now, again, granted, prevent defenses and, you know, everybody kind of going at, okay, run the clock out speed. You know, we're going to play hard because we're going to put this on tape. But alas, we're, you know, kind of running out the clock on top of it. It was one of those things. It's nice to see him do it. I want to see it for a full game. Jeff, I want this guy to be good. I want this guy to be good. It would make things so much easier if they somehow fell into a quarterback in the third round. It would make it that you could maybe find yourself to a Jeremiah Smith in the first round of next year and get your premier numero uno holy mackerel wide receiver. The same way that you could look at and get your premier numero uno left tackle and stop playing the DeJuan Jones. Can he stay healthy? Can he stay in shape? Can he do all of those things? And it, what happened to DeJuan is a bummer. It would be awesome if you could put yourself in that situation where everything falls into place and now we can supplement the roster because we have the quarterback. It would be fantastic. It's unlikely, but it would be fantastic if that ended up being the case.
The guy who does not get the spotlight here spoke with the media as well. Joe Flacco started the first four games. Joe threw the second most passes in the NFL. Had the second worst completion percentage. We've mentioned that numerous times. This is Joe Flacco on being told that he's no longer the starting quarterback.
I think the tougher thing is just going through what we've gone through the last 4 weeks and just not being able to produce the way we've wanted to. You know, listen, when you're in the moment and you're having conversations with people, it is what it is. You look people in the eye and you tell them how it is, and that's what it is.
That's the way you'd expect Joe Flacco to handle a situation like this. Let's follow that up with, did he expect this?
I don't think I foresaw it. Anytime you're in this league, I mean, everybody's always getting evaluated, and you know, the job of a quarterback is to help your team win football games. So I don't know if I foresaw it coming. But listen, me and Kevin can have a good conversation. It wasn't like it was anything super long or drawn out like that. But got to the point and had a good conversation with him about it. And it is what it is.
That was Joe Flacco. What do you think, folks? Browns are going with the rookie quarterback. 216-474-0092. We'll hear more from Stefanski when we come back. We'd love to hear from you. Dylan Gabriel going up against the Minnesota Vikings. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
All right, we thank Matt Underwood for joining the show as the Guardians are hoping to prolong their season and force a winner-take-all wildcard edition. Game three tomorrow, but they got to win today. And we expect Guardians to make their lineup public, whatever changes they may make, and they are definitely going to make changes. Coming up in about 1 hour, also about 1 hour from now, Kevin Stefanski will talk in Berea, and he will have to answer to why he's going to the backup. I think most of you seem to support the move. You were desperate to see anybody that wasn't Joe Flacco, and how I know that is nobody liked Dylan Gabriel when they drafted him. So what has changed? You've seen some preseason games. All right. So Jared Stidham was good in the preseason. So was Tanner McKee.
For two rounds, I think.
I don't think that matters.
For two rounds, I think people were okay with it.
What do you mean?
They were like, okay, well, they got Dylan Gabriel. This is going to be our backup quarterback. Or this is the guy they might want to have in the future.
Oh, you're saying once they took Shador.
Once they took Shador, everything became a drama. Everything became a mess. If they wouldn't have drafted another quarterback, I think this would be a much easier transition.
You think fans would be excited?
Yes.
About Dylan Gabriel?
Yes.
Because I'm not excited. I think
there are fans that are excited to see him that it won't. Look, if he goes out there and has, if they score 20 points or more this Sunday, people will be excited to see him come back.
Well, I do think this is the week where you could get some short fields, because if Carson Wentz is going to be the starter, he makes huge mistakes. He makes the rookie mistakes when he is under pressure. And look at their offensive line. Their offensive line is an absolute shambles. As well.
Did you think they were coming back? The fourth quarter of that game last week in Dublin, right? They were down. Pittsburgh had the lead. Then all of a sudden, Minnesota came back at the end. And I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah,
they
I got don't the trust ball at Carson the end. Wentz, no. though, yeah, at all. Right. You know? So this is, I know you said, so many people said this is not the week because of the travel stuff. But if you're looking for an opponent that's ripe for the taking, Minnesota right now, to me, is, without having to wait until we get to Miami, right?
Right.
Because Miami's the next one. So you might as well. I would rather it be.
What, you mean Pittsburgh?
I'm saying the next opportunity, right? Think, Pittsburgh's not an opportunity.
Correct. Okay.
So instead of waiting another 2 weeks, let's just do it now. They rip the Band-Aid off. Let's go. Yeah. And then maybe when Miami rolls around, they've decided that 2 weeks was enough of that, and they do something else again. I don't think that's happening, but.
Yeah, I'll admit
it.
You
never know.
I'll admit it. I have to see, you know, Dylan Gabriel actually play well for me to be excited, because that's not somebody I would ever draft. I was very confused as to why they drafted him in the first place. But you never know how these things are going to work out. You know, Brock Purdy, I'm sure no 49er fans, after they had moved up to get Trey Lance, nobody thought a guy drafted at the end of the.
I'm sure people didn't even think he was going to make the roster.
Yeah.
I don't think
it can happen. It's not like I'm dooming Dylan Gabriel. I mean, what an opportunity.
Yes.
I mean, where else? When we talked about Shador Sanders calling his shots, doesn't think he would have an opportunity in Baltimore. And ironically, they've got injured quarterback.
The starting quarterback this week.
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? We joked about it yesterday. But in this case, like, what an unbelievable opportunity. For Dylan Gabriel, now there's give and take. The give and take is this is not the Browns offensive line of the last 10 years. This is the worst version, even if Jack Conklin's back. How healthy is he going to be?
I just think at 1-3, Browns fans are okay with this. I don't think anyone hates it.
I don't think
Browns fans hate it by any means. Why would you? Look, you're 1-3. Where are you going? And if you're a Shador Sanders fan, you're probably excited about this too, because it probably moves your quarterback up another notch to have a chance to play. You could say.
Yeah, I don't know. Shador fans are thinking like that. I think they're thinking that he's still getting slighted by not being ahead.
No, I get it. But, yeah. I'm sure that's exactly how hardcore Shador fans feel, that he should be the one getting the opportunity this week. That's just not the way it's played out this year. So see what happens. Again, you're two snaps away from being able to play. I also wonder, although I don't know if I'm doing it with all the offensive line problems they've had, but do you not make him the emergency quarterback, just put him on the active roster, and then you don't have to have an emergency quarterback this week?
I don't know.
You don't have to.
He can't jump the line if he's in that emergency role, because he can be part of the 46. But if he's part of the 46,
correct,
then you can put him in over Joe in the game.
And maybe you have a Shador Sanders package you want to put into the game. I just think that's really minuscule for an entire game, that you may have a scenario where you like Shador and you might want to play him in one spot or another.
I laugh, though, because
we still can have an emergency quarterback after. You still can have three in there.
We have been perusing the networks in studio. We have the monitors on. And while we went into breaking coverage, so did the networks.
Yeah.
They showed an image of Dylan Gabriel on a graphic. The highlights and lowlights were all Shador Sanders. So this allowed them the opportunity to start talking about Shador again. And I do wonder if that's where some of the excitement comes in today, is that it feels like to some of the fan base, you're one step closer to Shador, which leads me to the next question. Joe Flacco is listed as the backup this week. And obviously, if there's an injury, they'll go to Joe Flacco.
Right.
Like, they will play him.
They have to. They don't have a choice if Shador is the emergency quarterback. They don't have a choice.
They would go back to Joe Flacco. But is that it? Like, what would happen the following week?
You're asking, will he be the starter again if something were to happen to Dylan?
Yeah. Yes. And I think they would go back to Joe Flacco. I know that Daryl was on record over the last week saying there's no going back to Joe Flacco. I think it's so early in the season, they think it's far too early based on their behavior, based on all the stuff we've been hearing out of Berea, the national stuff. I don't think they think Shador is anywhere near ready enough to bring him in before Flacco. Do you think I'm wrong?
No, I think you're right. My mind starts wandering on this stuff and still wondering when Deshaun's going to come back into play
on this whole thing.
That's the other part of this. So, if for some reason
that's the name nobody wants to hear.
ROI, baby. They're still paying
him. Maybe Jimmy Haslam wants to hear it. He's still paying him. He went to the wedding.
He wants to hear it. Deshaun wants to hear it.
Okay, there's two.
Okay.
Sean's wife? New wife.
Yeah. There we go. What do you think?
Does Deshaun behind
his
that
quarterback
line,
coach?
Does he want to see? He's seen the receivers. He's seen the offensive line so far this year. We sure Watson coming off another injury, surgically repaired. What was it this time? Was it the knee this time?
No,
or was
the Achilles?
Yeah. Okay. I get him mixed up.
Double Achilles surgery one Achilles.
Are we sure he wants to get back out there right now?
He can't. Well, he can. They could make him active this week. They could have taken. Yeah, he's. Yeah. I mean,
he's in the window.
There's a practice window and then there's an activation window. And if they wanted him to be, let's say Flacco had like a season. I hate saying stuff like this, but let's just say he was done for the season for some reason. Okay. You're going to tell me they're not going to activate him? That they're not going to put it? Bailey Zappi's probably going to go, now you're back to four quarterbacks again. Four or five quarterbacks the whole season we've been talking about.
You can't blame us for speculating. They're the team that had the four-way QB competition, traded the guy that some in the organization wanted to be the starter.
Right.
Because he had, for no other reason, he had a hamstring injury. That's the other part of this. Like, we talk about guys seizing.
I guarantee you Jeff brings this up in the next hour.
Well, we talk about all the time seizing control of an opportunity. In this case, did Dylan Gabriel seize control of this opportunity, or was it the hamstring injury, to one of the quarterbacks, to the other quarterback, being under assault, the offensive line injuries that made his lack of mobility even more of an issue?
We did it all preseason. Dylan Gabriel was last on everybody's list except for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry's.
Right.
So, but it is a seizing of some sort, right?
They believe he is the best quarterback for the job this week against Minnesota to win.
Or were they feeling the pressure?
No, they believe.
Were they feeling the pressure way more than just football? Like, what has really changed? Well, honestly, materially.
They feel like the offense could be better with Dylan Gabriel. That's all there is to it.
They didn't think that 4 weeks ago. So what has truly changed? Okay, you had two interceptions just to earlier in the season that weren't Flacco's fault. Last week, you had Albert Breer on yesterday. He didn't think either interception last week was Dylan was Joe Flacco's fault. He said it was basically lousy receiver play and miscommunication.
Right.
Which I still think the first interception.
Maybe
you have to put
they
on Flacco,
believe. But. Dylan Gabriel has a better concept and a better grip of what they're trying to do.
Well, they think he's gotten up to speed with
an opportunity
with all those reps he's had the last 4 weeks. What are the reps he's had the last 4 weeks?
How many reps have you seen in practice? I haven't seen any. I don't know who's getting reps.
All I heard about was Shedeur Sanders getting pity reps at the end of practice. That's all I heard.
He goes
to
Baldwin Wallace and gets reps.
And then the reps with the receivers, the Division III Baldwin Wallace. So that's all I've heard. I haven't heard anything about Dylan Gabriel getting up to speed. I haven't heard anything. Just the coaches are always
going to
say.
Who's asking that, though? Who's asking?
Well, they're asking Shedeur Sanders questions in the locker room.
But they're not asking, hey, is Dylan up? Today, they will finally ask those questions. Has Dylan gotten up to speed? Why is Dylan the right choice this week and he wasn't last week? That's what the real question is.
I don't think anything's changed except the pressure. I think the pressure is mounting. In fact, I'll even say this. Guys, they are advertising ticket sales during a Browns regular season. I've never seen that
before.
When
has this organization and this front office ever succumbed to any pressure? They tried to get the fans tried to pressure him into bringing Flacco back last year. They didn't do it. They have not given in to fan pressure to this point. When we've all sat here and said that they need to give in to fan pressure,
but they
don't know why fan pressure would have made this quarterback.
Anthony, I'm just going to tell you straight out, you're wrong on the ad thing.
I think they're hearing apathy. I think they're seeing empty seats at the home opener, which we haven't had since like 99. Empty seats.
If it was that, then they go to Shedeur right now.
That's right. Well, you're right.
They can't because the coaches are saying he's not even close to ready. He doesn't even know the playbook.
They're already selling Shedeur. There's two jerseys in the room that we're in.
They are monetarily, yes, they are
but
trying
you're
to
not
capitalize
right about
on
the season
it.
Ticket thing. Oh, the I'm season not, ticket thing is on all I'm the time. Not, I've seen it.
I'm hearing very different things than you are behind the scenes about their...
But not about advertising. They're always advertising, whether it was being on the list or whether it is about getting seats.
I've never seen this many tickets up for grabs. I've never seen it for a Browns regular season.
No, your point
that includes the 0-16 year. We did not have this many seats up for grabs. They are feeling the pressure. And you don't think that pressure trickles down from ownership to the management, to the marketing, and then comes all the way out in a season where we all agreed before the year. We kept asking this question, what's the season about? What is this season about? What do you guys think it's about? Is it really going to the Super Bowl? No, you can check that off the list. Is it to go to the AFC Championship game? No, it's not off the list. Is it even really going for the playoffs? And before the season, when the odds makers had you with the lowest win total in the NFL, when people were telling you that you got a four-man competition, and Joe Flacco, the 40-year-old, wins it, was winning ever the thought this year? They're feeling the pressure.
I hear you. As like Kevin Stefanski does every time, he doesn't answer the question that you're saying. What I'm saying to you, if you want to listen on this one, is that they have always been consistent about trying to sell tickets, whether it's being on a waiting list or whether it's being, you know, having actual tickets. You may be right. They may have more empty seats than they've ever had in forever. And I'll agree with you. But that's not the point that you had made was, look, all of a sudden they're starting to advertise. No. They've always advertised for season tickets. They've always advertised about getting on
the list. Andy, I thought there was a waiting list.
I said, if you were listening,
there's no waiting list anymore.
I haven't heard that in a while. I haven't heard that spot yet.
Yeah, because it's over. The waiting list is over. But the good news is, Dylan Gabriel, you've got your start coming up this week in London. Early start, and you get to go up against the Brian Flores defense. I hope he's got the reps. I hadn't heard much about the reps. I'm sure we'll hear today how much of the reps has he been getting all the way along. Meanwhile, we've got playoff baseball today, and we've got game two of the wild card. Andy, has your gut feeling changed so far throughout the show? You've had 3.5 hours. Do you feel better right now? We had Matt Underwood join us on the show. He gave an impassioned plea that they can win this game and keep the season going and force a pivotal game three in Detroit. How are you feeling right now?
Exactly the same way I was when I walked in the door. Be where your feet are. This team has done this consistently over the last month. I like them today. I like the fact they're not going up against Scoobal again. And I think they're going to win today, and I think they're going to force a game three. I thought that when I walked in the door. I thought that when I watched the game yesterday. I thought that while you were angry with our best player trying to score in a pressure situation. You might be mad at him. I wasn't. I'm going to give him a statue. He's Jose Ramirez, and it's not going to happen 2 days in a row.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm just going to continue to go back to, I hope the Browns have thought more about this than just, than basically what happens if Dylan Gabriel wins on Sunday, because I think they are going to Dylan Gabriel for a spark. That really only works if the spark takes hold and you win the game on Sunday, because if you lose the game and the offense looks just as bad, just as middling, you can't really substantiate going back yet to Joe Flacco, and then you're left to wonder, well, are there any more are there any more bullets I can fire in my excitement gun, which is what the Browns seem to be firing from right now.
Yeah, and like if it doesn't work, you know, you're trying to generate a spark. If it doesn't work, you're practically then just sitting there rubbing two rocks together, which is what this offense has been anyhow. It's been very uninspiring. It's been very boring, and the card that they would have in their back pocket, and really the only card to get the fans back on the same page, to get the locker room back bought in, would be to put Shedeur Sanders out on the field. And every sign has pointed towards that they don't want to do that this year. They don't want to do that this early, certainly. So they better be crossing their fingers. They better be crossing their toes that Dylan Gabriel works out, because if he doesn't, it's going to be pretty awkward going back to Joe.
I'll just tell you right now, Dylan playing this early all but guarantees Shedeur playing.
So, like Shedeur should be happy about that.
I mean, here's the thing. Dylan's going to be the only one that gets a chance at this when it matters.
It's true.
So, like, if you're Shedeur, going to Dylan, going into week five, I mean, Dylan's going to have to be Brock Purdy in San Francisco to keep Shedeur off the field. He's going to have to be statistically sound, and he's going to have to be able to win enough games. As of right now, that should not be where any of our predictions are. If he goes out there and he is Brock Purdy, hey, guys, we can put a pin on the quarterback conversation for now, and then it becomes how long do you build around this guy? What can you build around him? Do you still take a quarterback this year? All that kind of stuff. But specific to this, like Dylan going out there in week five, it really does just say, all right, maybe now Shador's like a week 12 play, or maybe a week 14 play instead of the last week of the season kind of play. But the problem will be, again, this is as good. Right now, what Dylan is stepping into is as good as you should imagine this offense is going to be. Because quite frankly, the idea that he's going to step in and elevate the offense in 1 week, he might do it for a short amount of time, but the fact that he's going to do that consistently, that's a huge ask for a young player, and there should be some ebb and flow that goes with that.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like almost what the Browns are telling you, the fans, is going to happen. Like they're telling you that, hey, this is a kid that we drafted in the top 100 when nobody else thought that he was going to be a top 100 pick. This is a kid that, while he was wildly inconsistent throughout training camp, and Daryl Ryder, you know, was adamant about some of the lack of consistency that Dylan Gabriel had, the Browns continued to inflate air into those tires. They continued to build him up. Now, we saw him get on the field in the preseason, and he did play well, and he was able to move the ball. But let's be honest about it. There was a lot of hand-holding that went into that. It looked like the offense was a little bit friendlier. It looked like they were able to disguise some things and get the football out of his hands quickly. So you better hope that that's the same story on Sunday against Brian Flores. You better hope that that offensive line is able to be better than what it's been. You better hope that those receivers are ready to catch the football. Oh, yeah, by the way, you're also going to be without Cedric Tillman. So they've told you all season long, really ever since the draft, that this was their guy and that this was the reason to be optimistic about this season. So they better hope that they're right, because they've really unfairly propped up Dillon Gabriel, maybe almost a smidge too much.
Yeah, and this will be ultimately, if Dillon goes out there for 7 games, they go 1-6. And they look pretty middle of the road. And then Shador goes out there and let's say gets one win, and but looks better. They're going to have to answer for that.
Right.
Like, this is the opening of a can of worms that we're going to be spending the next 13 weeks dissecting and wonder. And listen, I think if Kevin Stefanski had his way, Shador wouldn't have been here the last 4 months. I cannot say that about Dillon Gabriel. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that Kevin Stefanski is the number one reason that Dillon is here, putting even more emphasis and more, I guess, weight behind the idea that Dillon needs to look good. And yeah, functional starts week one. 5 weeks from now, if he's functional on Sunday, 5 weeks from now, it's going to be, can you be a consistent starter? That's how quickly things are going to evolve in this scenario.
And even in the short term, like you mentioned that 5 week window, I'm looking at Kevin Stefanski as a Browns fan that was born in 1998, right? So I've only got post expansion Browns to look at. Kevin Stefanski, far and away, best coach I've ever seen. That's true. What's also true, the last time that I saw.
But you haven't seen Goonies. I have not.
The last thing that I saw from Kevin Stefanski, the last time that his offense that he's calling scored more than 20 points in a game, well, that happened all the way back in 2023 with Joe Flacco when they clinched the playoffs on that Thursday night football game against the New York Jets. So to me, okay, Kevin, now you got your guy in there. This is the guy that you developed, the guy that you drafted, the guy that you told everybody was really good. So if you can't go out there and have a more functional offense with Dillon Gabriel, then as a fan, I'm going to be looking at Kevin being like, well, what went wrong now? Because you've had nothing but excuses. And to his credit, he has. The Baker Mayfield thing was a forced marriage. Who knows what triggered the Deshaun Watson thing?
Wait, real quick. He signed up for the forced marriage.
He did. And then he couldn't.
Like,
and then
it wasn't a shotgun wedding. Nobody was like, come on, Kevin, get into this picture. Don't make me pull the trigger now, Kevin. Come on. Nobody
chase him out of town quick enough. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Kevin's excuses are running out. And as a Browns fan, if things don't go well with Dillon Gabriel, I'm going to have no other option than to look at Kevin Stefanski and be like, well, dude, what happened?
216-474-0092. We are talking. Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this? Have you heard about this? Dillon Gabriel is the Browns' new starting quarterback. Nelson and Avon Lake, what you got for us? Real quick, buddy. We got about 45 seconds.
98? Are you kidding me? You aging me, dude. I was 3 years out of college when this kid was born. That's crazy. But anyway, listen, this is more of an indictment on Kevin, right? If Dillon goes out there and lays an egg, I think this was Kevin's pick, but I would say this quickly. It's not about winning or losing. If he does go out there and the offense looks good and the defense loses the game, I think it might be a win. Thanks, boys.
All right, Nelson, we appreciate you very much there. Do you realize how many people listening you actually make feel old just by existing?
I apologize, I guess.
You don't have to apologize. No, it's more about, let's just bring some awareness to it. And it would really help if you watch Goonies.
Maybe that's a homework assignment.
Though. Yeah. How old's your girlfriend?
It's my age.
Your age, which is?
26.
26. She will love Goonies. It's a great movie. Ladies love the Goonies.
I don't know that she would, man. Something about the way that you just frame that.
Wait, what do you think the Goonies is about?
I honestly couldn't even tell you.
So just take it off the name Goonies. If you Google it, I'm going to chuck my... That'd be a dumb thing. Why are you Googling it? This is not how we do things on air.
I've seen this. It's the guy with like the... I've seen this.
I don't know what it's about.
The guy with like the face.
You're dumb. The guy with the face. I mean, who could rebut you with that? He's a guy with a face.
Children discover an old pirate map in the attic. They follow it to an underground cavern in search. What's a cavern? A cave? In search of lost. Follow it. This doesn't even make sense. Treasure come up against plenty of dangerous obstacles around the way. 1985.
That was outstanding. I just want you to know, from me to you, that was outstanding.
Thanks.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
We have to be better, and that's the we in this thing. So obviously expect Dylan to play well, but we have to be good around him.
Kevin Stefanski, will Dylan Gabriel provide a spark? By God, we sure hope so, because that offense can't score just like the Guardians. But it's going to change. Both things are changing. Guardians will score runs, and the Browns will score points. Could bring up a whole segment, why are they called a run, but we'll get into that. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over here is Dan Menigan.
Sports Talk on 92.3 The Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You cannot count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Dylan Gabriel will start against the Minnesota Vikings. I'm anxious to see it. I didn't want to see Joe Flacco starting at quarterback for this team at the beginning of the year, and I don't want to see him starting the rest of the year. So I hope that Dylan Gabriel can go out and do a good job. That's nothing against Joe. Joe did a fine job here a year and a half ago, whatever it was, and I just didn't think he was anybody's answer to what could help this team in any which way, except maybe just being a consultant, and that's not what he wants to be. He doesn't want to be a quarterback coach in the quarterback room with the other guys. He wants to play, but that didn't make any sense to me. And now they've made the move after four games. So Kevin Stefanski obviously must think Dylan Gabriel is ready to go. He was asked about that, and here's how he responded.
From the second he's been here, he's been working very hard, very intelligent young man. He's done a nice job throughout practice. This whole season, he's been learning how to get yourself ready and understand the rhythm of an NFL week and what that looks like as a backup, and now feel like he's ready to go in as a starter.
This is why I have no issue whatsoever with the way that the season has played out when it's come to the quarterback position. Is exactly what Kevin Stefanski said there. It is a different animal when football is a part of your day versus football being your job. And as much as we all want to sit here and crack jokes about modern college football and the fact that these guys are now getting name, image, and likeness and are getting paid from the universities and all that kind of stuff, and we want to say that it's different, it's not. They're still having to attend some level of school. There are still restrictions of the amount of practice time and the amount of prep time and all of that kind of stuff that are involved. The NFL is a different animal. You are no longer going against people who are going to be accountants and lawyers and doctors and architects and everything else that takes place in college and art history majors and whatever else. You are going up against people who football is their job. Football is their life. Football is what they do. And their primary goal is football. It's a different animal. It's why all of these guys should have sat. And that's why I am perfectly fine with them starting Joe Flacco. And I would have been perfectly fine if they would have said, hey, we're rolling Joe Flacco back out. And that's why I'm perfectly fine with Dylan Gabriel starting this game on top of it, because at least he's had some exposure to that level of commitment to his sport.
One thing that Kevin made sure that he kind of pointed out was that he decided to make the move. He decided this. Now, that is something that you can debate. We will debate it after Kevin says why he decided to make the move.
Yeah, just my decision, where I felt this decision was best for the football team.
No insight there.
No, he's not going to give you any. This is Kevin Stefanski. He could get hired by Area 51 and do pressers tomorrow, and it'd be the same amount of information.
It's a really great point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing of it is, I don't think he needs to say that he made the move. If it's not groupthink, I think it should be, if you want to know the truth. I really do. I mean, you have an entire organization.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't just come down to the one guy. I know he's the head coach, but it shouldn't come down to the one guy. You know, we hear all the time, well, baseball managers don't make out their lineups, blah, 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 blah. It's the analytics and everything else and blah, 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 blah. As much money as they spend on players and everything in the NFL, they should have more than one opinion. So I'm sure Kevin had consultations.
I'm sure there was a crowdsourcing,
which is good.
Yeah,
that's okay. I just I'm just now curious to see it on the football field. And what can they do, folks, to maximize Dylan Gabriel here and maximize his opportunity to succeed? You have one very, I have the same word in mind, Dano. Go ahead. How do they do it?
Oh, I was going to run back to you saying this offense was stuck in the mud. And I wonder if Kevin Stefanski looked over after the Lions game and said, I'm about to lose my defense if I don't do something. Because we've all seen it before where you get these defenses that start rolling and the other side of the ball falls apart and then the defense just kind of goes, eh, what's the point?
We've had enough.
What's the point? I can three quarters this and we could be a league average defense and that's fine because it doesn't matter. But no, the solution of what you're talking about and the direction this needs to go and how you help him win, it's simple. It's what Alex Boone has told us. It's what Doug Deacon told us for years and years and years. It's what John Greco has told us more times than it can count. It's what Joe Thomas has called us.
You've mentioned
how do you help a rookie quarterback? Run the ball.
There it is.
Run the ball.
Run.
Yep. How do you help your offensive line? You run the ball. How do you hide some of your offensive line's problems? You run the ball. It's that easy.
Yep.
I hope Kevin Stefanski looks himself in the mirror and says that to himself of like, I got to get back to running the ball. I need to hammer home running the ball. Because even with a 10-point deficit in that game, that doesn't mean you sit back and throw it three times. It means you could still run your offense of running the ball, setting a play action, and going from there.
The issue here is this, too. I would think you're going to see differences when it comes to passing totals and rushing totals. But even if you don't, Dan, you can position your offense in a way that gives the impression, gives the other defense the thought that, boy, this is run first. I rarely got that when Flacco was on the field. And even when Judkins came back, I was kind of getting the feel that it's pass first. You can still have Dylan Gabriel throw 30 to 35 passes in a football game if the defense is concerned that you are going to run the football down their throats and you do it often enough that that's what they have to try and defend first, taking some of the attention away from the quarterback and a weak set of wide receivers, especially with Cedric Tillman not out there, and make them think you are going to run the football.
And a cavalcade of rookies.
And hopefully you do run the football. But
how do you slow the game down? Run the ball. Everybody will tell you it is a solution to everything. It's what the Browns need to do. If you're going to rely on your defense, what's the second part of relying on your defense? Having an offense that can stay on the field long enough to give your defense a rest. How do you make sure you have that? Run the ball. It all comes back to that simple idea, and I hope that's what they do. I hope Kevin Stefanski goes, all right, we need to start getting a few more runs in here. We need to, and more than anything, and this is where I'm going to really sound like old man Madigan here, get him under center. It's so much easier to sell run fakes if you're under center. It's so much easier on your running back to run the ball if you're under center. Get back under center. You're seeing it around the league. More and more teams are starting to kind of even move away from the shotgun. You're seeing Matthew Stafford and the Rams get back under center.
Yeah.
Get back under center.
And Matthew lit it up last week.
Mm-hmm.
Had a really good game. I wonder what they do at wide receiver here. And keep in mind, Jerry Jeudy is their top wide receiver. I'm not going to give numbers to these guys, but Jerry's had some real issues so far. Cedric Tillman is a guy I like. But he's a young guy, and he's had some injury issues, and now he's out. He's on the IR, so he's out four games. Is Isaiah Bond ready to step up?
Better now than never.
Daryl Ryder didn't think so. I'm anxious to see. Daryl knows more about what's going on out there than we do because we're sitting here. Daryl doesn't think so. I wonder, do you try and force feed him? Is Jamari Thrash out there for more? I mean, this is where you are, Dan.
Wouldn't you try to force feed Jerry Jeudy to begin with? Seeing as though
I would try to, except for one thing. The last thing I think that Dylan Gabriel needs to try to do is force feed anybody.
I was going
to
say, is it the fact that to complete a pass, one must throw the ball and then one must catch the ball? And
yeah.
Catch the ball has become a little tough.
I think the team needs to run the offense that they want to run and not do anything to force anything out there other than, hey, here comes our offense. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And then run the balanced type of offense that I think they're hoping to have and put Dillon Gabriel in positions to succeed. And by trying to force feed the ball to your top receiver, I don't think you're doing that. Now, that said, I would hope that Jerry Jeudy gets open, and I would hope that Dillon Gabriel makes those throws. So, and that's the way that's supposed to work.
So if you're the Browns, then do you, in this game, is this, for lack of better terminology, is this the kitchen sink game? Like, if you're Kevin Stefanski, are you going, all right, let's get Isaiah Bond on some end of rounds and start using some of that speed? Let's bring in maybe a couple more of the tight end screens, wide receiver screens. Is this the full blown, like, let's do everything we can to get the ball in the hands of the position players in various ways that either involves simple throws for the quarterback or no throw from the quarterback? Are you going kitchen sink?
No.
Okay.
What I am doing is I am going to play to what I think is the strength of my football team. And that is, I'm going to turn around and hand the ball off. And I'm going to have my running back, more than likely Quinshon Judkins, running behind the trio of Joel Bitonio, Ethan Posick, and Wyatt Teller. And I'm going to tell those guys who have all been really good in the NFL, go, run block, some holes, let them go.
Yeah.
And if I get 2 yards on first down, I'm going to run it again on second down. And when I'm on third and five, I'm going to run it again. And then if I get 3 yards and I'm fourth and two and I'm near midfield, I'm going to run it again. I'm going to run the football. And then the minute that the Vikings are like, oh, man, they're running the football. Oh, play action. Look, there's a pass to Harold Fannin over the middle. I mean, I think this team has to establish an identity. It doesn't have one on offense. The identity on offense is it's not good. That's the identity. Not good.
So you're coming in saying I'm treating this like it's the Kansas City Chiefs with Priest Holmes and Jamal Charles. Well, we're just going to bust it and run it and run it again and run it again. And then maybe we'll allow a quarterback to debate throwing it.
Yes.
But then we're going to run it again.
You know what would be a great game? And I'm not ruling out the chance that the Browns could go to London and win this football game.
Me neither.
You know, the Vikings have not been terrific so far this year.
Carson Wentz is not a good quarterback.
If Dillon Gabriel can throw 25 or fewer passes. Think about it, though. And I'm not saying hold him to that or limit him to that. What I'm saying is, if you're running the ball well enough that you don't have to throw more than 20, 25 passes, that's a recipe for a win.
Somewhere TJ Yates is smiling as he's turning around and handing it to Arian Foster again.
216-474-0092, the number to join us. Brown's making the big move. We'll see how it pays off. I'd love to love your thoughts on it. Right time, right move, right guy. It's Baskin and Phelps with Menigan in for Andy.
What do you think is more likely right now, Big Weege, that the Browns regret drafting Shedeur Sanders or Shedeur regrets rigging his way to the Cleveland Browns?
I think it would be Shedeur rigging his way to the Cleveland Browns right now.
And why would that be?
Well, one, I mean, we laughed about it in our pre-show meeting because Jake Murren had brought it up. If you had just gone to the Ravens, you'd actually be a starting quarterback right now. There's a really good chance you'd be there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you came to Cleveland for the opportunity to play. Like, the entire reason you went here is because, oh, they got a 40-year-old quarterback and they brought in Dillon Gabriel. I can outplay that. And you have shown, at least to the organization and the way they've handled it, not even coming close to touching the field in the slightest, maybe at all this year.
So I do think it should be Shedeur, because it is apparent that I just don't think Shedeur and Stefanski align with each other and what they like value, which is ironic because I think Shedeur fits everything that Kevin has been missing as a head coach. Like, I think Shedeur is a gamer. I think he's tough as hell. And I think other than the fact he's not played under center a lot, I think when it comes to play action and the game that you want to play, I don't know that there's a better version of that out there than Shedeur Sanders. Like, truly, I think that's where we are with Shedeur. But I just don't think the personalities align. And I think ultimately, like the second that you drafted Dylan, I think I'm 5 weeks into this thinking, and man, I think you just wasted this because I don't think there's a chance Stefanski is going to give the other kid a real chance this year. And I think it is. I think it's for dumbass reasons. Like, well, did you see he pantomimed? Okay. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, schematically, right, I did the Browns quarterback big board the entire time leading up to the draft, and Shador is my number one guy, and why was Shador there? It was because I looked at what Shador was good at, I looked at what he did in college, and schematically, he fit exactly what Kevin Stefanski liked to do. He was a guy that, yes, again, the under center thing, but that's every college quarterback at this point, and find me a college quarterback that doesn't love playing in shotgun. Shador was slightly mobile, could run a bootleg, was really great in the short to intermediate. That's everything that you possibly could have asked for. Again, I don't know that he was NFL ready. I think there was still room to grow. But Shador, for the most part, and unless you're paying attention to pantomiming, and that's the thing that really boils your blood for some reason, has done just about everything you've asked of him on the football field, at least that's, you know, to the blind eye of what we can see.
I just think when it comes to the Browns, if you regret drafting Shador already, you clearly didn't think this one out. Like that, yesterday, I mean, they got to regret drafting him. Like, really? Because he pantomimed?
Like, do you regret drafting Jamari Thrash right now? Because he barely steps on the field and doesn't do anything?
I mean, do you regret drafting or signing any of the guys who've had real serious charges against them in the NFL? Like, I don't know. It's just like, there are so many versions of this season, and the gray area is anywhere between one of these quarterbacks takes the reins and you got a really interesting situation going to the draft next year. It's like kind of shading to the worst side of this is Dylan plays, doesn't look good, and then Shador and the head coach aren't on the same page. They just don't speak the same language, and that's ultimately what probably hurts Shador's chances of succeeding this year and certainly hurts Stefanski's chances of keeping his job. Like, I don't know anybody right now is in a winning position. If you're the Browns and have regret this early, unless there's some things we don't know about behind the scene, which again, there are people who are really good at being the public eye and then they get behind the closed drawers and closed doors and it's just not good. I get that. We see probably about 30% of this. At the same point, all the Shador this, Dylan that, all this is done is proved, in my opinion. I think Dylan Gabriel was a Kevin Stefanski pick, and I think Shador Sanders was a Andrew Berry pick. And I think that tension point is going to be fantastic, because they're not going to work out fantastic, potentially. I think it has a chance to be one of the great distractions of this season. I actually do like it spicy.
I mean, we're looking at right now, like, the Browns have essentially driven a stake through their fan base in a way by drafting the two quarterbacks.
And maybe the organization?
Yeah, like, I don't know that for sure. I think there's definitely a chance. Like, I'm not throwing away the fact that I agree. I think if it wasn't a Kevin pick, Dylan Gabriel, he certainly signed off on it, right? Like, he was certainly influential in that decision. And it doesn't feel like, you know, Shador was the guy he wanted. I mean, everyone will point to whether it was bad timing or they caught the genuine reaction of drafting Shador Sanders in that moment when it flashed up during the draft. But, like, certainly through the fan base, you've created the distraction of everybody going, I mean, how many people do you see on social media or just anywhere where you talk to fans be like, oh, well, it makes no sense that Dylan's starting, or they're mad about Shador not being QB2 right now. And then the other people are just, you know, a lot of the other side is just, well, I don't want to see Shador. Shador's doing too much, and they jump on every moment to hate him. It's like you drafted two polar opposite quarterbacks personality-wise. Even though there's similarities in the way that they play, not one side can see the other. Like, now, it's such a few percentage of people that are genuinely looking right now just to have a quarterback succeed in Cleveland, which is crazy. Like, at the end of the day, we're Browns fans. Like, you should be hoping that either of the two guys pans out, but right now it's, well, I think Shador is a better quarterback, so it has to be Shador. Or I don't think Shador is a better quarterback, so it has to be Dylan.
216-474-0092. With the latest Shador saga, obviously, if Shador's in Baltimore right now, he'd be getting ready to play this weekend. He's in Cleveland getting yelled at about pantomiming things. Who should regret their decision more, the Browns for drafting Shador or Shador for choosing the Browns, the answer is always whoever chooses the Browns. That one always feels like, hey, Baker Mayfield really wanted to be the quarterback here. Four seasons in, screw you. We can't win with you. Hey, Shador chose the Browns. Yeah, but they chose Dylan Gabriel. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Gerald in Pittsburgh. Welcome to the show, Gerald.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing all right. What you got for us?
Hey, so I kind of wanted to talk more about a topic you guys had going on earlier in the show. I did agree with you on the fact that you make that change to Gabriel not because you're expecting to look a little bit better. I mean, you're making that change because you're expecting to go out there and compete to win. And then what that does for the fan, I think Kevin Stefanski takes this Dylan Gabriel pick very seriously. I think he'll address a lot of the line issues differently by trying to use some play action, maybe some QB runs, different things like that. I think, like you said, Gabriel is his pick, and I do think he is invested in trying to make him work. And one quick thing on the Guardians, win or lose today, I know people will be really mad about what they do in the offseason, but I think with a lot of those youngsters on that team, I think next year, this time, I think we'll be looking at them and thinking, man, this is a really, really good team, and it's built well. Thank you.
Gerald, we appreciate you. I'll leave my take on that for whenever the game goes final. It is, you know, put up or shut up time for the Guardians. Specific to the Dylan Gabriel stuff, yeah, I think a lot is riding on the line for Kevin Stefanski. I think this is easily I think Kevin's the biggest reason why Dylan is here. I think the Browns took him because they felt like they owed that to Kevin Stefanski, and I think if Dylan looks unplayable over the next couple weeks, it's going to lead to a lot of uncomfortable conversations about, all right, well, you said you couldn't win with DTR because of X, Y, and Z. You couldn't win with Deshaun because of X, Y, and Z. You couldn't win with Baker because of X, Y, and Z. This is your hand-picked quarterback. Why doesn't he look at least better than he does? And I think that is immediate pressure. It's not immediate, maybe not internally to win yet, although I think that's where we should be. But I certainly think when it comes to Dylan Gabriel, the analysis of Dylan Gabriel, how it plays in that organization, yeah, looking competent to start your career would be a big break for Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, I almost feel like it rides on Barry as much, too. Like, I think it does, obviously, ride on Stefanski, but like it rides on Barry, too. Like, the inability to assess quarterback talent, period, is starting to shine through, too. Like, you went out and you got Deshaun, which obviously didn't work out. DTR was a massive failure. And then if you end up with Dylan looking bad and Shador either not touching the field or looking bad, it's starting to look really bad on you as well.
Who should regret their decision more? The Browns drafting the Browns for drafting Shador or Shador for choosing the Browns? Some Guardians talk coming your way, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour as well on 92.3 The Fan.
All right, you couldn't hear it from the audio. We're a radio show, not a TV show, although we are on YouTube. So technically, we're going to have to get to the point where we have to be playing these videos.
We can recreate it. Yes.
We're recreating what Shador Sanders was doing yesterday. In the locker room, major, major credit to intrepid young reporter for 92.3 The Fan. And he's all over the place because, ladies and gentlemen, Spencer German, he is Spencito on social media, always does a terrific job. You can hear him on the weekend. He's on Locked On Browns, Cleveland Browns, Sports Illustrated. He covers it all. And Spence, I think you drew the ire of my co-host today.
Don't do that.
Jason Lloyd of The Athletic.
Spencer, you did not draw the ire. No,
don't walk
me.
It back. Don't
I'm not.
Even start walking it back.
I'm not.
Play the audio. No, we got to do it. Because I'm not going to let you get away with this. Oh, we all heard it.
Okay, good. Yeah, play the audio.
And by the
play
way, it. Awful Announcing wants to do something on this. Now, go ahead. Here is Jason Lloyd, my co-host today, and for Ken Carmen earlier in the show.
Stop putting cameras and microphones in the face of the third string quarterback. He was never going to be the backup. Anyone who pays any attention to this team, who knows how they think, who knows how they're operating, he was never going to be the backup. Stop talking to the third string quarterback. And if you're the Browns, stop letting him in the locker room during media availability. There are places all over that building to hide. You tell him, go sit in the hot tub for 45 minutes.
Spence, I will tell you, your boss backed you up today because he called in to say, yeah, Spence is doing exactly what I wanted him to do. What is your video up to now? Almost 14 million You did the right thing. Don't let these old curmudgeons tell you otherwise. Your video is all over ESPN. It's on Fox all morning long.
Well, listen, I think there's a fair point in what Jason's saying, in that, like, yes, I understand why people are frustrated and annoyed that a third string quarterback is getting cameras shoved in his face and getting asked questions. But I think the thing that Keith said that I think probably sort of sums this up the most is just like the idea that the Browns kind of did this themselves, right? Like they don't have a franchise quarterback, and they drafted two of them in this past year's draft. And so as long as those two guys exist together on this roster, and they're going to be compared to each other, and we're going to wonder like how far along is one versus the other. And, you know, I think Shador also isn't your typical fifth round pick or your typical third string quarterback. I think that can be that's very accurate given, you know, just how polarizing of a figure that he is. I think all those things kind of add up to why, you know, yesterday I felt like it did make sense to try to talk to Shador on some level, because listen, like the other rookie that was drafted with you is getting a starting job. How do you feel about it? But listen, I get it. Like, I think fans of this team are sort of annoyed that he keeps making headlines for maybe the wrong reasons. And I'm sure there's other teams looking around like, well, this wouldn't happen on our team because nobody cares about the third string quarterback. So I get where Jason's coming from. I felt in the moment yesterday it was a story that people probably wanted to hear or see is what how Shador feels about it. And apparently he didn't really want to tell us.
There's plenty of, I don't know if blame is the right word. There's plenty to go around that made the situation what it is. And I just think the media has the most culpable role being, listen, I know I'm in the media. I've been doing this 25 years. I think the media is most culpable, but everybody has a role in this. And if Shador comes out and says, I'm doing everything I can to prepare myself, I'm confident, and if I'm called upon, I'll be ready to play, and that's all he says, then a lot of this goes away. But he's not wired that way. That's not who he is. And so he'd rather come out. And I thought Rex was over the line and unfair in some of the things that he said. I think I know where Rex was going with that and what Rex Ryan was trying to say. I thought it was overly harsh and unnecessary, which led to then yesterday. But there, I mean, no starting quarterback in the NFL acts the way like Shador did yesterday with the miming and with the not really like either talk or don't talk. I know he's going to get criticized no matter what he does. Part of that is this: when you become a social media figure and you become to the level that he is, that's what comes with it. Some people are going to like you and some people aren't. Some people are going to offend you and some people aren't. I just think everybody has a role to play. And in the Browns' role, this is why 31 teams passed on him five times, because everybody saw this coming. We said it at the draft. There's going to come a point where everyone's going to Shador and saying, you're not playing. How do you feel about not playing? Well, it's September and it's happened already. Yeah. So this is why 31 other teams said, nope, not interested in that, not dealing with that with a backup quarterback.
Well, and James, I agree with you on Rex. By the way, I covered Rex for a couple years in Buffalo, and he as much as Shador plays the game, like Rex knows what he's doing. Like I was in a, back then they used to do like the conference calls with the opposing coach. And it was the year that Tom Brady was suspended for the first four games of the season. And Rex Ryan came out and pretended to be a beat reporter and try to ask Julian Edelman if he was starting a quarterback that week, because Tom Brady was going to be out. Like Rex Ryan knows how to play the game too. So yeah. I do think he sort of delivered his comments in a way that were a little more inflammatory than they needed to be. But to your other point though, Jason, like, with the other teams passing on him and understanding like this is kind of what comes with the territory. I also think too, like I know for a fact that, you know, that the Browns don't want to tell Shador like, hey, don't talk, right? Because they think, and they're from their perspective, and I get it, that looks like you're sort of silencing him and not letting him speak, and you know that's not a good look either. So that certainly wasn't the case yesterday. This was all just Shador acting alone, which I think is the bigger thing here, right? Like, I honestly think, you know, you bring up maybe tell him to go hang out in the hot tub. Do we even know for sure that Shador would like just take that advice?
Probably
like,
not.
I don't know. I think he kind of operates on his own platform because he knows he's polarizing. He knows who he is. He knows that he's this larger than life figure. So I kind of think like, yeah, people can give him all sorts of advice and tell him not to do things. But I think in a lot of ways, like he kind of acts on his own because he feels like he knows how to handle those things. And so I guess that's up to him. And I think that's kind of what played out yesterday. As well. But yeah, it's such an interesting situation for sure.
At some point it becomes a matter of, is the juice worth the squeeze? And if he's a fifth round pick and you don't think he's ready and you don't think he's close, then why are you keeping him around?
Yeah, listen, that's very fair. I think I saw a lot of that in my comments the last few hours, 24 hours, whatever it's been, which were just being like, you know, same thing you said. This is why he was drafted in the fifth round. You know, this is maybe they should cut him now or whatever. He's just a distraction. So I think there's certainly a lot of fans that feel that way. I would imagine this is probably going to be a while till we talk to Shador again, want to hear from Shador again, because I'm assuming they want to ride with Dylan for a while, but maybe not. I don't know.
All it takes is one. And post game, it's hard because they're all in there post game. Yeah. You know, it's then he is available after games in the locker room, both home and away. But during the week, there's plenty of places for guys to.
So, Spence, you're saying it's going to be a while, but next open locker room session that you're in, are you going back up? Are you going to listen to this old man trying to dictate how you do your job?
Here we go.
New blood.
No, listen, I thought yesterday there was a purpose to talking to Shador. Like I said, he was the other quarterback drafted in this class. We know he's a polarizing figure. He believes he's good enough to play now. So getting his perspective on the change and him remaining the third quarterback, I thought was valuable. I guess if there's maybe if Dylan Gabriel gets hurt on Sunday and then now he does get promoted to quarterback, the second quarterback, that would maybe perpetuate. So I guess I'm wrong. Maybe there is a world where we talk to him again really soon. But I don't have any plans to go up to him in the near future to ask him questions along those lines. You know, maybe if I have like a private conversation with him, that's one thing. I took no offense to what you said, Jason. I get it. And I understand that perspective as well. I felt yesterday I was trying to do what my job entails, if that makes sense.
When there's 30 people around, I get why it becomes, what's the word? Everyone's going to do it then. Once there's three
it's
or
infectious.
Four,
it's yeah.
Then because now you don't want to be the one where your boss is yelling at you saying, why don't you have this when everybody else has it? I totally get it. I don't fault you at all. Lima's totally being Lima right now. I don't put all of this on you at all. He's the one that dragged your name into this to begin with. But yeah, listen, I've done this a really long time. I totally get how the game is played. I'm just over it. I'm just tired of it.
How did I want to ask Spence, how did it end once that left and you guys are all looking at each other going, I can't believe this just transpired, because you have a good eye for this. You know, this is going to play. Was Shador kind of laughing as he walked away? Did PR step in? Like, what happened?
No, there was no like stepping in. It was kind of just like, all right, well, we're not getting anything out of this, so we'll let it be. And then, you know, as we kind of sort of walking away, I sort of asked Shador just, you know, off the record, like, hey, have you ever been to London? And he was like talking about how he had been, whatever. So, no, it was nothing. He was definitely laughing about it. He just kind of had fun with it. But I think that's kind of the bit with him, right? Like, we saw his brother's media company that he runs posted the clips and, you know, sort of put it, spliced it together with the Rex Ryan comments, which gave us the indication that it was in response to Rex Ryan. So I think he planned this on his own. I think he knew what he was doing. It was to make a statement because people are saying he runs his mouth too much. And so he was basically trying to tell everybody, I'm not going to run my mouth. But I think he definitely, you know, he walked away from it laughing and understanding that it was kind of all in good fun from his perspective. But clearly on social media, which surprise, surprise, people are going to overreact on social media. A lot of people didn't take it that way. So it is what it is, I guess.
At Spencito _ I think is what it is on social media. Great job yesterday. Do everything you can to do more of these moments, because it gives us a lot of runway. We're enjoying it. Thank you, Spence.
No problem, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
See you, buddy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.